Hi there, beautiful creators. This is Kirisha King, and today I'm going to explain why everyone can connect with what Patanjali calls Isvara, or the Supreme Purusa, in as straightforward language as possible. So that by the end of this reflection, this aspect of your expression will not feel as distant to you as it often feels to so many. And so that if you, by any chance, happen to feel that somehow your full expression is far out of your reach, I can remind you that this is not so. Reminding you that today, if you happen to be caught up in the trappings of your mind, ego, or the illusions of the world, you can always choose to regain connection to your true self just for the sake of connection at any point, knowing that since nothing else is truly as fulfilling or as liberating for your spirit, it is strongly worth the effort. My goal is that by the end of this reflection, you will know deeply that your spirit was never meant to be oppressed or suppressed, as it is in our warped and distorted human minds and societies. But before we discuss this divine connection, however, I want to ask you a question to illustrate a simple point. Well, maybe several questions, to be more exact. Have you ever experienced a state of flow? Have you ever been in a state of mind and being where everything just seems to flow in your experience from one moment to the next without complication or difficulty? Where you do not have to worry or concern yourself with anything in the world and simply enjoy what is occurring through you at any given time. Whether you were creating something in those moments, enjoying an experience, working on a task, or anything else, have you ever felt a deep sense of presence marked by complete ease and flow in your life experience? I want you to take a moment to go back to the experience of this feeling if you can, for the sake of our exercise. Just pull the experience out of your remembered lived experience to analyze and extract maximum learning from. How is your mind functioning in those moments? What does it feel like to be in your body and mind in those moments? How are you feeling about the activity or experience that you are recalling? What do you observe when you truly look at and see these experiences from a removed perspective? How does this experience compare to a moment of worry, for example, or even a moment of enjoyment? Please do yourself a favor and truly answer these questions for yourself right now. I will give you some time to sit with the question and allow yourself to use your mind to formulate a truthful response. Now, since there is no right answer here, but your answer will most likely reflect the experience of others very accurately, regardless of what words you used or how you chose to express your observations and feelings, the fact of the matter will remain that the state of flow can definitely be described as a distinct and common experience by any human who has also experienced it. The same can also be said for the state of connection with the Supreme Self, or Isvara, which more than just one, a few, or even thousands of humans have been fortunate to experience in all of human existence. Everyone who experiences it generally concludes that it is virtually impossible to fully describe in words, but overall, all the reports have certain key things in common that we can generally use for reference. Millions of people have, most likely, although we can only truly begin testing this hypothesis from this point forward if we wish to do a modern scientific study with our current tools and instruments, experienced this state of consciousness in the past and present, since it is a universal experience that is common to our human experience, regardless of geographic location. This connection is so universal that whether you study European, Indian, Chinese, Middle Eastern, African, or any other regionally defined spirituality on the mainstream or tribal level, if efforts were made to document the experience of connection with the Divine Self in words, the same things are often described. The beauty of yogic and other schools of spirituality that makes things extra convenient for all of us is that some people took it upon themselves to look at the experience of connection scientifically. Making an observation, formulating a hypothesis, testing that hypothesis, and then analyzing and reporting their results. So that we not only have the experience described and detailed in writing, but we also have the way to get to this experience mapped out from careful qualitative analyses over the course of centuries as well. This careful observation, analysis, and reporting in the Yoga Sutras makes it so that we find both the description of the experience of connection to our true nature and a roadmap on how to get there in one place. It also further shows us how applicable this knowledge is to all human beings, despite the fact that, due to numerous societal factors, these teachings were at some points throughout human history only passed down to individuals who considered themselves to be elite due to temporary power structures. The existence of the Yoga Sutras and other similar texts, therefore, do not simply detail the experience of connection and how to get there with this changing of hands in mind. They also blatantly declare that as long as one has a brain and the ability to understand and apply this knowledge, or seek to understand it, that the experience of connection is available to all human beings. The experience of connection and the journey to connection never, and will never, belong to any one group of human beings eternally until the end of time, since all humans function in essentially the same way. We are all a part of the same species. So, regardless of class or current societal status based on preferential treatment guided by power structures that are subject to change with time and sentiment, the teachings of the sutras and other texts on connection remain universal and applicable to all human beings. These teachings remind us all that regardless of our expression in physical form, and this is really important since it's all about the fact that physical form is a distortion of the pure self, we are all a part of something greater than our form and greater than our brains and bodies, and that the reality of our entire existence itself empowers us to fully know and connect with this truth at all times. These teachings underscore that we can choose to know our divine and greater nature and to embody it within us if we can let go of our attachments to the illusions of the world and our attachment to the changing nature of form in order to fully embody who we are in our purest state at any given time. They remind us that only our level of attachment to form, culture, and history determines how easy or difficult it may be for us to connect with our divine truth. And most importantly, they illustrate through their timelessness that this truth is always present for each of us in any given moment, and that it only takes our merging into this truth for us to fully know who we are and be liberated by it. If you ever feel like connection to your divine self is far out of reach, always remember that the only things that get in your way are within you to dissolve. Neither time, social status, other people, money, nor country of origin change your capacity for connection to all that you truly are. So embrace that. I hope you use that information to continue to strive forward on your journey and in your practice as you journey through your life experience. Take care for now, and I will see you again next week in our upcoming reflection.